this number out this morning, and if you have your Bible, if you'd be turning to the book of John in the 12th chapter, we'll begin our study there in just a moment. John chapter 12. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you to be an honored guest and encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Daniel has suggested. And if you've never been immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized into Christ. In the book of John, in the 12th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 19. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. In the reading I just read to you, in the life of Christ, I desire that we think about, for just a moment, the request of the Greeks when they said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." There's another statement about seeing Jesus that I desire to put before you at this time, and that's in the Hebrew letter and the second chapter. And in Hebrews chapter 2, if you will, look at verse 9. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, notice the Hebrew writer said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." I want you to underscore in your Bible the statement, "We see Jesus." And then there's a third scripture for us to consider in our study. If you will kindly turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And when you come to 1 John chapter 3, notice a statement made by John beginning at verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Underscore, see Him as He is. In our study, I want to put before you this morning the fact that we should see Jesus. The first thing I want us to do is go back to the book of John in the 12th chapter. And when you look in the book of John in the 12th chapter, you remember that the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead was being told over and over. And the Greeks who came down to Jerusalem to worship heard this, and they had a desire. Their desire was to see Jesus. Now, I don't know if they just wanted to see Him so they could go back and said they saw Him. I don't know if they had a request of Him. But whatever the reason, the one thought that I want to put in our mind this morning is that here is to men that desire to see Jesus. And that needs to be stressed. You know, my friend, the sinner needs to have a desire to see Jesus. The complete picture of the book of the Bible is for all men, all sinners, to look to Jesus. In your Bible, in the book of John, and the first chapter, in verse 29, you remember that John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus walking amongst the Jordan River, down on the Jordan bank, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He says, "Look at Jesus." He points out Jesus. It's very clear that John points for people to see Jesus as the Lamb that takes away sin. And so this morning, if one is outside of Christ, one has never been immersed into the blood of Christ, one has never had their sin taken away by His mercy and grace, one must see Jesus. Thursday night when Aubrey Gentry was baptized, she was immersed into Christ, raised up, and you know what, my friend? She saw Jesus. The blood of Christ blotted out every sin. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Acts in the second chapter. And on the day of Pentecost, notice when Peter and the others were preaching, that they were preaching this Jesus in verse 36. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. He is the King. I want you to notice that was the theme on the day of Pentecost. Look at Jesus. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, you'll find in about verse 35, when Philip was traveling with the Ethiopian treasureman, the nobleman, and you'll remember at that time that Philip opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to this man. The sinner should have a burning desire to see Jesus. But that raises a second question. Why is it that so many people do not see Jesus? Why is it that people do not see the Lord? Well, the first reason I'll tell you is a lot of people are looking for Jesus in the wrong places. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice, if you will, verse 5. He said, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You want to know why a lot of people don't see Jesus this morning? They're looking in the creed books instead of the Bible. They're looking at what man has said instead of what God's Word has proclaimed. And there are a lot of people today that have looked in the wrong places for Jesus. They're not looking in the Scripture. They're not searching the Scripture, as John 5:39 says, that tell us about Jesus. And so thus we find a lot of people don't see Jesus because they're looking in the wrong places. Secondly, a lot of people don't see Jesus because they have the view of the world. And that is, you only need to see Him on Christmas and Easter. That you only need to come those 2 days, and the rest of the time you live as you want. And they just come when they feel compelled to come. And they go to Jesus only when they need comfort, but they don't see Him daily. But I'll tell you a third reason a lot of people don't see Jesus. They don't search the Word of God. They don't know Him. They don't know about Him. They don't know what He's done for them. They don't know that He cares for them. But I'll tell you a fourth reason. Some people don't want to see Him. There are some people who just don't care anything about Jesus. There are people in this world that the last thing they want to think about is religion and Jesus. But I'll tell you something, my friend. We should have a desire to see Him. But that brings us to our second point. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we come to the second statement about seeing Jesus. And look at this powerful statement from the pen of the Hebrew writer. And this statement is made from one that is in a right relationship with God. This was made through the eye of faith. It is the act of living by faith. Look at what he said in Hebrews chapter 2. We see Jesus. That's a statement. And notice what he said we see about Him. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death and crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Look at what the Hebrew said. He said, when I see Jesus, I see the suffering of Christ. Look at verse 10. For it was fitting for Him for whom all things and by whom all things are, in bringing many sons to glory, to be make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Look at that. He suffered. That was something that stayed on their mind in the very beginning days of New Testament Christianity. That the Son of God, who is above the angels, made Himself lower than the angels, that He might be the captain of our salvation. That He might take away our sin. That He might be our sacrifice. That He might be our propitiation. And the Hebrew writer says, I see Jesus by faith. I see Him as my Savior. The writer said He's the author of our salvation. He sees Christ as the mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, you remember that when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said there's one mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ. He's the only one that is the go-between between man and God, because He's the only one who is both God and man. And so I need to see His death, and I need to see Him as my Savior. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Ephesian letter in the 5th chapter. And in verse 23, you'll remember it says that He's the Savior of the body. What's the body? The church. What's the church? People who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. People who've seen Jesus and have obeyed His will. If you take your Bible, look if you will in 1 John chapter 1. And when you come to 1 John chapter 1, look at what John had to say. In 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." You know what we see? We see Jesus. And when we fall short, we confess our sins, and He's faithful. Faithful to what? His Word. And just to what? Forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at that word cleanse in verse 7 and in verse 9. Take away, purge, clean. And the only way my sins can be taken away is I see Jesus. But I'll tell you a third thing. We need to see Jesus with us. The Hebrew writer is telling the people of that time, we see Jesus now in our trials in verse 10. I see Jesus now. In Matthew 18:20, it says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them." Jesus is now with us. In Matthew 28:20, He said, "Lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age." Jesus is now with us. The problem is, oftentimes we don't see Him. But the early Christian said, we see Jesus. Can I tell you something? This past week, I've struggled sometimes with some things with my attitude. And sometimes our attitude needs to be adjusted. And you know one way that you can fix your attitude? Is look at Jesus. I felt I was misrepresented on a point. And I'll tell you something. I know that sometimes people will take something you say and they'll misrepresent you. They'll mistreat you. They'll misquote you. And sometimes what you want to do is defend yourself. But I went through the Bible and I read some 39 times where Jesus was misquoted and misrepresented. And then I remembered what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2. When Peter said in verse 23 that when Jesus reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. I need to be more concerned about the judgment of God than the judgment of man. Man will mistreat you. Man will misrepresent you. Man will misquote you. But I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. When I'm tempted to sin, I need to look at Jesus. I had an elder one time who made a statement, and I think he's right. He said, "Have you ever thought that if you are truly praying to God, you just can't turn around and sin right then?" That's right. If I'm talking to my Father, how can I immediately, during that prayer, go and violate His will? I will want to stop what I'm doing and look at Jesus. But I'll tell you a third one. In 1 John chapter 3, from the pen of the beloved John, we have another view of seeing Jesus. We shall see Him as He is. Have you ever wondered what Jesus looked like? I remember when I was growing up, my grandmother had a picture. And I thought that's exactly what Jesus looked like. But you know, we don't know what Jesus looked like. But you know, one day I'm going to see Him. And I'm going to know Him. And John said, we will see Him and we will know Him. And I'll tell you, my friend, that is something to hold on to. That's the promise Jesus made in John 14. In John 14, when you read the words of Jesus, you remember the promise that was made when He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's houses are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And what does He later say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is a promise to all the children of God. We will be with Him in glory. Every time before I get up to preach, I pray that the sermon I deliver be to the glory of God. Because one day I'm going to see. And that's what we live for. And that's why when Paul was writing in the Roman letter in the 8th chapter in verse 18, he said, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Look at these last two words. In us. Why? Because we've kept our eyes on Jesus. Do you desire to see Jesus? Do you wish to see Jesus? To the Christian, do you see Him? Do you keep your eye on Him? By faith, do you walk with Him? Because the promise is one day we'll see Him face to face. Open your Bible as we close to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a statement made by the Apostle Paul that can't help but make you feel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Have you ever thought that one day you're going to look right in the eyes of Jesus? When I was a little boy, my job was to mow the yard. And I had a little yard to mow. But I hated mowing the yard. I remember I probably prayed for rain more as a little boy than I've prayed in a long time. And my father came out one day because I wasn't mowing it the right way. And he got on to me and I had said something to him that I'll never forget. I cussed him. I learned some words at school. I used them. And my father, when he gets mad, his eyes would get real big. And he turned around to grab me. And I took off running. And I went up and I told my mother, this is it. He's going to kill me. He came into the house. Instead of having an angry look, he had a tear in his eye. And I never hardly saw my father cry. And he looked at me and said, if you were going to talk to me that way, you're not welcome in my home. I wonder how many of us in the day of judgment is going to look in the eye of Jesus and see a tear and hear, because you would not look to me and because of the way you acted in my world, you're not welcome in my home. We should desire to see Jesus now if we desire. You need to be obedient to the gospel. We pray you come.